from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic. We are back.
Bobby Witt Jr., first pitch. Fastball lifted, deep to left field. Benintendi back, on the track, it's out of here! Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam! The Royals take the lead in the top of the eighth. It is 8-5. Nobody is hotter than Bobby Witt Jr. is right now. His fourth hit of the game.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Last night was one of those moments that I'm going to compare to another great athlete in this city, but welcome to Fesco in the Morning.
You're going to compare him to me? Wow.
That's right, baby.
Holy cow.
Talk about your swimming days.
Yeah.
Bob in a Speedo. Didn't see it coming on a Tuesday.
No, you did not. Nor did you see Katie Ledecky, Bobby winning the field today up there on the swim pool in Paris today. I hear the pool is fast over there.
No, they say
it's Katie
slow.
Ledecky was destroying the competition, much like Bobby Witt Jr. did last night. You know it's going to be a good day, right, Dust Man, when you open your Twitter in the morning and there's many direct messages going, I can't wait to hear you guys talk about the Royals. I mean, what an unbelievable performance last night. And I was watching on the Chicago TV broadcast last night, because I always like to look and hear what the competitors are going to say, because my wife's like, why are you watching the Chicago broadcast last night? And I'm like, because I just want to hear what they're saying about us, right? And I'm glad that I did, because that grand slam on the Chicago broadcast, fellas, was they didn't even say anything. You just watch the ball go out of the ballpark and you can hear the announcers go, okay, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I don't know, man. It's just, it's so great to when you see these sort of things happen, especially for your team, and you take everything in at the moment.
Yep.
Right. Because I think the other, and I'll give you for what I can, at least I think I can kind of put some sort of thought into it. When that game that goes like that, like we all three were kind of in, you know, cohesive unit, text each other. It was just like, I think we all felt the same thing in the same game, which was like, man, this sucks, dude. Like, this is the White Sox. Why are we losing? Why does our bullpen continue to do this?
Right.
Where the F is the offense? Can somebody other than Bobby Witt Jr. do something?
Right. And then you get a solo home run from this guy. You get a solo home run from that guy.
You go back to back with Renfroe and Melendez.
Right.
And you're like, okay.
And that bomb by Melendez, I don't know that I've ever seen a swing quite like that before. Yeah. That looked like something you do like in Little League or on the schoolyard or wherever the case may be. That was like a comic book type swing. And he got that. I'm surprised that thing didn't go foul with the way that the height and the length and everything and the way his body was all twisted. I'm like, there's no way. Oh, my God, it's staying fair.
That's what happens when you have a hose.
Yeah, exactly.
And the best part about last night was – sometimes, and I hate to be this person, and I know those back-to-back home runs happened, and I know your leadoff hitter, Michael Massey, worked a damn good walk in the eighth inning, and that inning was great. But last night was one of those moments where after it happens, you just take everything away, and you go, that guy is a certified G and a bona fide stud.
Yep. Yep.
That's an athlete, and this is a moment where, like, I'm not going to forget this for as long as I live. And that's one of those things where, like, as of today in football, like, we used to know what this felt like. And you know what I mean? Like, we used to know what this surprise factor of a depleted feeling. We're out of nowhere. And I'm sure some of you were laying in your bed where, and I was. And that was one of those moments where I sat up and I just said to myself, I was like, did that really just happen? That's a moment. That's where, like, Bobby just showed the entire world that he's got the largest plums and the biggest moment with the brightest lights on the biggest stage. Now, I know it's not the playoffs, but this is the stuff that we used to see from Mahomes where the play against the 49ers, where it was the arrival moment, right?
Right.
And Mahomes wiggles around in the back, throws a corner strike to Conley, and everybody just goes.
It was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
So he's got that in him.
So, yeah, that was the moment that we all, I think, officially, because that was the first home game of his career.
And that was game three.
Yeah, it was game three, and I remember sitting in the press box that day.
I was with you.
And watching him on the other side come this side, go that, like, that was one of those moments, Dusty, like you remember that moment. And I think for Bobby Witt, I think last night was kind of that defining moment for Bobby Witt. I felt like I hate using this example because regular season baseball in Chicago on a Monday night versus postseason type of stuff with Patrick Mahomes, it's not comparable at all. But Bobby Witt is starting to give me that sense of what I have with Patrick Mahomes. And until the game is over, as long as Bobby Witt and the Royals have a chance, there's a good opportunity they're going to win this game. And we were watching the game last night, and I go back to the 13-second game against Buffalo because I remember when they scored that touchdown to go up with 13 seconds to go, my wife falls on the floor and is crying and screaming, and I'm sitting on the edge of the couch, and I'm laughing. And she goes, aren't you upset? I'm like, because there's 13 seconds left and 15 still has an opportunity with the football. I think we're going to be okay. And sure enough, down the field goal overtime, Chiefs win the game, right? And that's how it was last night. She was so disappointed. Oh, we're losing to the White Sox. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, this game is far from over. A, the White Sox may be the most wretched team that we've ever seen in baseball.
Was it 15 straight last night?
15 in a row. They've lost. I got a text from our friend Kurt Nelson, who runs the Hall of Fame Museum for the Royals, and he said to me, there's a talk show host in Chicago who apparently notifies everybody when the White Sox have a three-run lead and tells you to bet against them because it's free money for everybody. And I'm like, so the White Sox have got a bullpen. They've got that BABIP out there out in the bullpen. He stinks. Out loud. And then Bobby Witt is still going to get an opportunity in this game. Once that lineup started to kind of go through, and even the guys in the Chicago broadcast are like, oh, you're getting too close to Bobby Witt. You're getting too close to Bobby Witt. And once he had an opportunity, all he needed was one pitch to put this thing out of reach. And I'm not comparing it to the 13-second game, but I'm comparing my feelings to that 13-second game, the vibe where as long as Bobby Witt has got a chance and the Royals are within striking distance, there's a good opportunity they're going to win these baseball games. And thank goodness they pulled that one out last night. That was a big win to have because everybody else was winning last night. And if you didn't win that game, you were not in the playoffs come Tuesday morning. And the Royals found a way to win that thing. And Bobby Witt sure as hell found a way to win that thing because he won that game with his offense late, Dusty, and then his defense in the ninth inning, too, making two spectacular plays.
Yeah, the defense that he showed towards the end, and it's interesting because when you hear this sort of thing from announcers.
But the point is that James MacArthur should be expecting the best now in this role. No way. Whoa, my!
I don't know. That's Hudler.
He just can't draw it up any better.
Hudler was flabbergasted. Yeah. Like when the home run on the TV audio happened last night, he just went, oh, like he yeah. knew it. And he's always great when there's those like fly balls that you're not sure of. When Hud makes the noise, 9 out of 10 times, it's probably a home run. Or like even if it's the opposition, he does the uh-oh. You're like, when you hear the Wonder Dog do that, you're like, oh, okay, that's probably gone. But so back to Bobby. So in so far this season, 347, 19 home runs, 75 RBI. Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To me, there were two things that became evidently obvious last night. One is this team will be that team the rest of the year. I hate to say it, but they're a cigarette team.
Mm-hmm.
They're the team that, like, you're after the third out of any inning, you're going out to your front porch. Okay, we got 8-9-1 coming up. We just got to get somebody on. Okay, blah, blah, blah. That's who they're going to be. Right. I told you last night, I don't care how the Royals win the rest of the season, just effing win.
Yeah, it doesn't like, matter. Just win the games, right?
Like, I'm done being critical. I'm done worried about, okay, can Vinny Pasquantino get the ball in the air? Can Salvador Perez not hit into a double play? Can he come up big in this moment? Just win.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Win.
I don't care if it takes a Bobby Witt grand slam. And the other thing to me that became evidently clear is that this is not an MVP race of anybody but two people in the American League.
Well, no question. Yeah.
And I understand that you can have your people like Alex Gold that'll throw the odds up there on DraftKings and be like, Bobby Witt Jr. is still 7-1 to win MVP. But the conversation that needs to be had is that you have someone in Aaron Judge who's flirting or trying, won't now because he won't get close to the average, but was flirting with a triple crown. But then you have somebody like Bobby Witt Jr. who, when you look at what he's done when the season matters the most, he's put together in the month a 14-game hitting streak.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 3-hit games. I'm going to say that one more time. 6 3-hit games. He has one game where he's only been hitless this entire month, and he has 16 extra base hits this month. He has 41 hits the month of July. There's only been 21 games.
Right.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s slash line in the month of July is .488, .505, and .857. The guy's on a different planet.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's playing baseball out of his shoes. He's playing baseball like Patrick Mahomes plays football. And, you know, for so many years, I don't know that I could sit there and say, boy, that athlete, he made it really look easy, right? Maybe Michael Jordan back in the day, LeBron to an extent, you know, kind of made the game look easy. Bobby Witt is making this thing look like it's child's play right now. And I've watched a lot of baseball over the years, Dusty. I've seen a lot of great players over the years come through Kansas City and play against the Royals and whatnot. And I'm old enough to remember George Brett, and I'm old enough to remember guys in the 80s and 90s and things like that. I'm old enough to remember McGuire and Sosa going on that chase in 1998 and what that summer was all about and how they made it look so easy to hit a home run. I don't remember watching a baseball player make the game look as easy as Bobby Witt makes it. And that's a real, you know, compliment to him because he prepares so well. He gets his body ready. He gets his mind ready. He gets everything ready to go out there and dominate a game that is basically based on failure. You're not, you know, judged on success in Major League Baseball. You're judged on failing. If you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're considered one of the greats of all time. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Witt is making this game look as easy as I've ever seen anybody make a sport look. He's making the game of baseball look like Patrick Mahomes does to football, or like what Katie Ledecky was doing in the pool this morning, lapping people in the 1500. Like this is one of the more dominating athletes and dominating seasons that we've seen clear across the board in any sport for any team at any level. I've never seen anything like this before. And we just have to sit back and enjoy what's going on because this guy right now is playing out of his mind. And if you're not getting excited every morning to wake up to get to watch Bobby Witt at night, man, I got to wonder if you got blood flowing through your veins because this is the most exciting thing right now going on in Kansas City sports. And as we get closer and closer to October and this team gets closer and closer to a playoff berth, my God, this city's going to come alive with baseball and people are going to discover Bobby Witt Jr. both locally and nationally. And they're going to realize this is the game superstar that we have right now.
He's the fastest in the league. He steals the base, hitting home runs all over the place. It's Bobby Witt Jr. Every Kansas City fan knows his name. And you know, the crowd goes wild when he's sliding to home base. Bobblehead coming your way. He's a shortstop, and a bobblehead.
That's how Bobby Witt Jr. does something great. You get that great jingle coming up on the other side, where his pace is and what he continues to do and why he continues to wow you. It's Bobby Witt Jr.'s day on Bob Fesco's show. Mac Morey, Dusty Liggins, Bob Fesco. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio.
And here's Bobby Witt Jr. First pitch. Fastball lifted. Deep to left field. Benintendi back on the track. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam. The Royals take the lead in the top of the eighth. It is 8-5. Nobody is hotter than Bobby Witt Jr. is right now. His fourth hit of the game.
We ought to just play that coming back from every break. I shot out of my bed like a rocket last
night. Like a rocket ship.
I mean, damn near put a hole in my ceiling.
Well, you don't want to do that. Then the landlord gets you for that security deposit.
I would just show him that video.
Okay.
And I'd be like, you agree? He'd be like, yeah, you'll be all right.
You'll be all right. We'll take care
of
it.
You know what? Rinse do next week.
Yeah. Bobby hit a home
Enjoy
run.
Bobby Witt Jr. for now, by the way, if you missed it. Bobby Witt Jr. set the world on fire last night.
Not just with his bat, but with his glove in the ninth inning. And you know, my wife, after she called the grand slam, because she did, she goes, all right, he's going to hit a grand slam here. First pitch, grand slam. Of course, she's always right, right, Dusty?
Yeah.
Yes, Bob. Hits the grand slam, does all that. But to me, it was more about, like, MacArthur tried to give that game back in the ninth inning, right? Did he not? Everybody
Boy,
can agree,
threw him
right?
Right back out
right
there.
Right back out there. Like, well, I mean, it's an eight. Look.
What an Andy Reid move.
But it was the perfect, actually, situation. You're up, what? 8-5 at that point in time against a White
Sox team.
Save
opportunity.
You got an opportunity to go out there against the worst team in baseball. Let's see what you can do, right? And he tried to give it away, but Bobby Witt was making play after play after play. And like I said, I was watching the White Sox feed last night, and I hear Steve Stone start talking about Bobby Witt.
Look, I know that there's a guy in Los Angeles signed for $700 million, and there's no doubt that Ohtani is a wonderful player. I'd rather have Bobby Witt Jr. than Ohtani? Yes. And the reason is...
Steve Stone, hot take.
Well, number one, because you've got yourself a shortstop, which is a man in the middle of just about everything. You have a guy that hits just about, maybe just as well as Ohtani. He doesn't have the power of Ohtani, no doubt about it. Obviously, he's not going to pitch. But this guy is going to play every day for you, and he's going to play in the field at a critical position. You try to win anything in this game without a shortstop, you're not going to win. So, I mean, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other. A lot of people would say that Ohtani's bat and the fact that he can pitch would put him above. For me, I want that guy because I've never seen, in all the time I've seen that guy right there, he has never dogged one step, never, anywhere. And that play he just made from shortstop, there's not many guys in baseball anywhere that could make that play.
So that's Steve Stone on NBC Chicago last night. And to my wife, that's why I watch sometimes the opposition to see what they're saying, because you get nuggets like that where Steve Stone is saying, I'll take Bobby Witt over Shohei Ohtani. And his co-host there is like, that's a hot take. Is it a hot take, or is that just a smart baseball take to say the shortstop is the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. They always talk about being built up the middle in baseball. Your catcher, your second, your short, your center fielder, you're strong up the middle. You're going to have a great opportunity to win. The most important position in the game where the best kid always played when we were all growing up was at shortstop, right?
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr. is that kid. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Shohei Ohtani. I still think he is the greatest baseball player we've ever seen because he does pitch and he does play the outfield and he does hit like it's nobody's business. But Bobby Witt Jr. is out here making play after play after play, and he's winning games for you defensively, and he's winning games for you offensively. It's safe to say and fair to say that Bobby Witt Jr. right now is the best all-around player in Major League Baseball. And I don't know that the argument's even close right now.
And this is from Royals PR Nick Keppel, who put this up last night on Twitter, because Steve Stone's not technically wrong when he says he's never seen somebody like this. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr. is on pace for 131 runs. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
224 hits. That's like Ichiro
category. Yeah, that's crazy numbers. That's like, anything over 210 is like, oh my God.
We don't see a lot of guys get 200 hits these days anymore.
No.
89 of those 224 hits are extra base hits. Mm-hmm. 113 RBI and 34 stolen bases. He then finishes with, no player in Major League history has finished a season with those totals. Bob, that's why this MVP conversation is not just a 7-1 odds. I refuse to believe that. Vegas, you can have your odds. Yeah. You can have doom and gloom tweets that Mr. Gold gave us last night. This MVP race is closer than people think. Mm-hmm. And I understand what Aaron Judge is doing in New York. I understand what he's doing. He's on fire.
He had two home runs again yesterday.
And then gave Jad Chisholm his bat, and he hit two home runs with it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, cool story, bro. I'm sorry, and I mean this, and you can call me a homer, you can call me biased. I don't give a rip. Bobby Witt Jr. is the most valuable player in baseball because of what this team is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Just ask yourself this question. Make it simple for yourself. Are the Royals where they are without Bobby Witt Jr. right now? The answer is 100% no. Are the Yankees where they are without Aaron Judge? Probably not. But I will say I think Bobby Witt right now is more valuable to the Royals because you could probably close your eyes and see a way for the Yankees to get into the playoffs without Aaron Judge.
Right.
Even though I know when he does miss time, they're not the same team, right?
Right.
But with Bobby Witt Jr., there is no chance in hell that the Royals are even being talked about in the postseason conversation going into the day of the trade deadline, which is today,
right,
without Bobby Witt Jr. on this roster. And that's why, for me, he's the MVP. Like, he's the MVP because Aaron Judge hits, but Aaron Judge isn't out there making the plays on defense like Bobby Witt Jr. is making. And I'm not trying to take away from anything that Aaron Judge has done out there. This is like comparing the two greatest of all time, right? Like, who's better, LeBron or Michael? Like, great July sports radio topic. But this is like a legit MVP race conversation, Dusty, that we're having right now. And it's hard for me not to look past Bobby Witt Jr. and give him the vote because of the way that he plays defense and the way that he single-handedly won that game for the Royals last night. And it's not just about last night. It's been about what Bobby Witt has done basically since the first pitch was thrown this season. Bobby Witt Jr. has been a force to be reckoned with. He has taken over this team. He has taken over the city. He has taken over the game right now. And he's doing things on the field that Aaron Judge just quite honestly could not do at this moment in time.
And there's stat line where you can give or take. Judge 318, Bobby's 347. He's almost hitting 30 points higher than Aaron
that's
Judge
huge.
And average.
That's huge.
Right. Judge has 83 runs. Bobby Witt Jr. has 87. So he's scoring more often than Judge is. Judge obviously almost has 100 RBI. Bobby Witt has 75. Judge has 39 home runs. Bobby Witt has 19.
Right.
So again, those stat lines are a little bit more in Judge's favor. And he's having a great year. 315, 99 RBI, 39 home runs. And he's got a WAR of 7.4, whereas Bobby has a WAR of 6.7. But when you look at
Judge could have 100 RBIs before August, which is pretty damn impressive. I mean,
it's just interesting when you look at the word valuable
player
and then most, I know it's MVP, but when you look at who's the most valuable player to their team, are the Yankees still in first place doing what they do? Probably, maybe. I mean, they're still a dominant team.
Baltimore probably has a sizable lead, but I think the Yankees are probably still sniffing around the playoffs without Aaron Judge this year.
But the Royals don't go from a 56-win team to a 85-win team without Bobby Witt Jr. doing what he's doing.
And you mentioned whatever that stupid stat was, that WAR or whatever.
Yeah,
wins above replacement. Which I don't buy into. Are you telling me the Royals are only 6 games worse without Bobby Witt Jr. on their roster? I find that very hard to believe, right? I find that very impossible to believe right now. And so when you're looking at
They're one game worse without him last night.
Right, they were. Yeah, absolutely. They lose that game, no question, without Bobby Witt Jr. last night. But when you start to really compare it and look at it and who does most for their team, and for their organization, I mean, it's a hard argument. It really is to separate the two, but those are the only two that should be in the consideration for the MVP vote right now because both of those guys are truly carrying their team. Judge is putting up astronomical numbers, but if you're going to factor in the entire player, Bobby Witt steals bases, Bobby Witt makes plays on defense, Bobby Witt has saved games with his glove. Aaron Judge, again, not a knock on Aaron Judge. He's more of a one-trick pony than Bobby Witt Jr. is. Aaron Judge is 100% a bat guy, right? Makes some plays in the field, but Bobby Witt is a true five-tool player that literally does everything to help your baseball team win. Therefore, in my opinion, he's the MVP of this American League right now.
Speaking of the MVP, she doesn't play for the United States. We switch gears to the Olympics. Don't worry, we'll give you plenty of Royals baseball. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco on the morning on 610 Sports Radio. Love on the bathroom floor. I think it's another word in the original song. Hidden stat of the day, Shaggy really doesn't have the Caribbean accent or the Jamaican accent.
Really?
Nope.
What?
He talks normal. This is all
Shaggy
fake.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
Yeah.
This accent you hear is not real.
What? Well, that's like Milli Vanilli lip syncing. The next thing you're going to tell me is they did that too.
I feel like this is worse.
I think it is too. Yeah, I think, could as you we imagine find out, like everybody lip syncs.
Could you
days,
imagine
right?
a meet and greet? Like I get to meet Shaggy.
Exactly.
You get and the to guy's meet like, "Hey, like, how you doing? Nice
hey,
to meet
man,
you.
How you doing? You think, hey, man, it's all good. And then it's like, hey, how are you? I'm Shaggy. Hi. I'm like, never meet your heroes.
That's what they always say, right? I mean, yeah. it's crazy. Like, is there a hero that you had that you met and you're just like, oh my goodness, I don't want to meet that guy? For me, it was Kevin James. He's high on that list. Yeah, high on that list.
Stinks. I love Kevin.
So did I. It was so excited to meet Kevin James. Boy, what a dud he turned out to be. J.J. Walker, also another dud that came in one time, refused to say dynamite. We had asked him to leave. There was no point in you staying, sir. You have a word that you say. If you're not going to say it, there's really no need for you to be here.
Back to the text line where you like to engage with us, 913-586-7610. LOL, no way. I went to bed when the score was 5-2 in the eighth.
Well, you can't be doing that, man. You got to watch this like you're watching the Chiefs. This game ain't over till it's over, brother.
From the 913, my name is Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
I hit dingers and doubles and triples and play defense.
Yeah, it's true. Bingo. Yeah, yes. I don't even, like, does he even know how to hit a single? Like, if Bobby Witt Jr. got up there and lined one to right field and it felt like in front of the outfielder like a normal single, would Bobby know what to do?
He had that double last night that was a one-hopper over the fence. That would have been a triple.
Yeah.
It would have been a triple.
Easy would have been a triple. Yes. No question about it. Yeah, yeah. From the 785, damn, I still love King and Queens. Great show. He's just not the same person in person as he is on the television show. And you have to understand that, too. It's acting, you know? All watch, like, these guys on TV or gals on TV and think that's how they really are. And then you meet him, you're like, that guy was kind of a dud. A lot of people say that about me.
You know who's not a dud? Bill Brooks.
Vehicle crash southbound 35 past Johnson Drive. The right lane and shoulder are blocked. Southbound's 435 bridge and road maintenance through Blue Summit down to Blue Parkway Drive. Yeah. I'm Bill Brooks with your get off my bumper traffic.
Yeah, I got Blue Summit, man. I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah, last night it was a Blue Summit.
You live out there in Blue Summit, don't you?
It was blue last night after Bobby Witt Jr.'s home run.
Oh boy, was it!
It was blue before, and then a different shade of blue afterwards.
Thought
this was interesting. The Olympics currently going on. It's just right now is the men's 4x200 free.
Okay.
Great Britain is in the lead. But the impressive thing that we saw this morning, which is the Olympics in general.
Yeah.
You just turn it on. You don't know what's going to happen. And then we just watch Katie Ledecky doing the, 400 meter or whatever. Not the 400.
The 1500 free. And she just blew the doors off the competition.
I looked at Bob and Mac and I was like, is she just doing this solo? And they were like, no, dude, she's just kicking everyone's ass. Yeah,
like, she was lapping the competition. I don't know. When was the last time you saw somebody in the Olympics just destroy somebody else? Like, we just saw Katie Ledecky do, right?
That was Usain Bolt-ish. Like, that was like,
that was better than Usain Bolt. Like, that was incredible. She literally lapped that person in lane 7.
Yeah, and it was the marathon swim where everybody else is trying to pace it, and she's like, check this pace out.
Right, I'm going to go ahead and sprint this thing,
another
right?
gold. Yeah. Another medal.
Right.
But speaking of interesting, I thought this was, and maybe this would be different, and this is where I think America missed, and it's okay to call me a jerk or call me an idiot or whatever you want to call me. It's fine. I got thick skin. But this is where America missed the boat with Caitlin Clark once again. United States versus Japan. We were all locked in on that yesterday.
I started to watch a little bit of it. Yeah. Got bored real fast when I didn't really recognize any players
Lowest
in that game.
Lowest attendance of any women's Olympic basketball game thus far.
Wow. Yikes. Lowest attended game. Wow. That's insane, right? Imagine if Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were playing on the American team. That thing would probably have been sold out, right?
100%.
Like, you can say what you want about Caitlin Clark. You can say what you want about Angel Reese. There's nobody doubting that they are the two faces right now of women's basketball in the United States of America. And Dawn Staley was on the broadcast the other night, South Carolina women's coach Dawn Staley, one of the greatest of all time.
The Tin Man?
And yeah, right. And she said that he dressed in like aluminum foil. And then she said on that broadcast, you know, during the men's game, like, maybe we made a mistake not having Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on this team. And I'm like, yeah, you probably did make a mistake, because I tuned into that game yesterday looking for, you know, somebody that I knew. And I'm like, that's Diana Taurasi. And she's been playing for like 100 years. Yeah. Like I think they really missed the boat on that. And we talk all the time about growing the game, whatever that game is, right? Oh, they got to market the players. They got to grow the game. The WNBA is in like this renaissance right now where people are paying attention. People are excited. People are watching. And then you stop down, which is fine, and go to the Olympics, and then you don't take the two biggest stars of the sport right now. Are they the best players in America? I don't know the answer to that question, but I know they are the two biggest stars in America right now for women's basketball. And the way that you grow the game and grow the sport is on the international stage in the Olympics, because everybody is watching. And that is a big, big air ball by the U.S. Olympic Basketball Committee by not having Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on the women's basketball team. I mean, I think that's just a major fail right now, because by the time these Olympics are over, guys, we'll know the names of surfers, we'll know the names of fencers, and we'll follow these people and go, oh yeah, I remember that guy from the Olympics or that gal from the Olympics. And right now, where the WNBA had an opportunity to capitalize on the excitement and the fun that's going on, they failed miserably. They acted like baseball did a few years ago when they were trying to promote star players, and it was like Mike Trout, and then they didn't let him in the playoffs ever. And then when they did, they sent him home after three games. So, like, you missed the boat here, U.S. basketball. You missed the boat big time by not having those two big stars and those two big faces of the game playing on the Olympic stage right now.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not one of those things where you can say, well, it's about getting gold. It's about being, there's 12 roster spots. You're going to have 10 in front of them. They can come in at the end of the game. You've won 8 golds in a row. You're going to beat these teams by 30 and 40 points. Yeah. Grow the game.
It's interesting. I mean, you have a chance to put Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark on a team where they're the heel and the face of the WNBA, but together they have to play on the same team and cope. And we already saw in the All-Star game, those two ladies, they did lead their team over the girls that are playing in the
world.
And plus, not only that, but like, isn't it much better? Like, we just talked about Bobby Witt Jr. when you go to, oh, I don't know, maybe you go to a Pittsburgh game this year and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go see Paul Skeens, but there's kids in the Pittsburgh audience wearing Bobby Witt Jr. uniforms.
Yeah.
You know how he did that? He did the home run derby and put himself on a world stage.
Right.
Different than the Olympics, but maybe if you go to other countries, all of a sudden you're seeing Iowa jerseys in like Japan, or you're seeing like, you know, a Brazilian kid wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey because she's her favorite player,
right,
or whatever. And it's like, you look at the ratings that the Indiana Fever have done. They had to move a damn game to the T-Mobile Center in Vegas just so they could get everybody in the stadium for 18,000 people.
Right, yeah. It's
put
crazy.
Put them on the stage.
Put them on the stage. Let these gals play, man. They're the face of basketball right now. And America's screwed that one up big time.
I've got buddies that love the NBA. Guy I played golf with last night, big NBA fan, grew up in Chicago, watching Michael Jordan his whole life. When Caitlin Clark came on the scene as a sophomore at Iowa, he's texting me on the side, dude, are you watching this girl? What a freak.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know, dude, and guess what? We get another year of it, and then she's going to go to the WNBA, and we'll see what she can do there, and she's grown the game already, hasn't even played a whole lot, and just started to kind of come into her own where you're like, all right, she's putting these professionals on skates.
Right. I mean, imagine if baseball did their All-Star game and they said, you know what, we're not going to bring Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. to the game. We're going to let others star. We're going to bring in some old player that you know from yesteryear and put them into the All-Star game. Like, that's just not the right way to do it. You've got to grow your game. And so when people say, how come the WNBA didn't grow as much as it should have? Because you failed miserably when you had an opportunity to put your two biggest stars on the national stage, you screwed it up. It's a major fail by USA women's basketball. And I was watching the game a little bit yesterday. Quite frankly, I wasn't that interested in it. I really did not have much interest in it watching that game yesterday. If Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were playing, probably a little bit of a different story.
Yeah.
And the team's good. It's not the team's not
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they're still going to win gold.
They're going to win gold.
Right, they're going to win gold. Right. And you knew they're going to win gold. They won 55 in a row.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
you've waxed the competition. You've destroyed the competition, both internationally and obviously wherever. You've won 55 in a row. You're going to win gold. Isn't it more important to have those two girls on the team to grow the game than it is to go out there and have two other bench warmers that nobody knows out there, you know, to do whatever it is that they're doing because maybe you're making somebody's feelings better? It's a total fail. It's one of the biggest fails in sports that we've seen in 2024.
We'll continue our Olympic coverage and talk throughout the day. We'll get into what other sports you like outside the norm of what I'd say track or gymnastics. And Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. There's an impressive Chiefs stat and there's an impressive Mahomes stat. I want to give them both to you and get your reactions raw on the other side. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 610 Sports Radio, and you're listening to Fesco in the Morning. So I had to take a little ride. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco with you. That's Amore.
That is Amore.
That's what
right?
I said last night. I was weird. I was shirtless in my bed shorts, and I just thought of Mac.
It's just Mac being good. Mac.
Yeah. That's Amore. I went straight to the dock, and I was like, all right, here we go. Lead's done, boys.
Yes.
Close your eyes. See you at five. Like, as soon as I saw that grand slam, I was like, yep.
Oh, yeah, there was no, unless you're one of those who turned the game off after, like, Benintendi's home run and then got up at 1 a.m. and watched the condensed game. I mean.
Mac's awesome.
Yeah, so I just think right now, from the 913, did Mac get dumped? This music has those vibes. Did you get dumped over the weekend in Nashville?
Still good.
No,
yep.
Okay, still good.
Fiance and I still strong.
Still,
yep.
Okay. All right, good. Give it a couple
surprising.
Months.
I don't know why.
Strong,
yeah, exactly.
Unlike
strong.
The pool water at the Olympics.
Very weak water at the Olympics today. Again, another nice swimming event took place that we just watched. Who won? Hell if I know, but they're on. And we all watched Bobby Witt win last night. Bobby Witt's the real winner. In all of this, and really, I hate to say elevated himself to the national stage, because I feel like we're saying that every freaking night with this guy.
I mean, solidified himself there.
Right.
He's already shown it, but now it's like, all right, he belongs.
But every night, it's something else that makes you go, wow. Like, with Patrick Mahomes, it was once a week, and we were smoking cigarettes, you know, all week.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s doing something every night. We're all going to have lung cancer by the time this season's over.
Yeah.
And it feels like with Bobby, it's like, it is him. Like, he is the machine. With Patrick, obviously, it's him. It's all revolves around him. But he's got Travis. He's got something. Bobby, it's like it's him doing it all by himself, making
really
this happen.
Is, right? Like Salvi pitches in, you know, from time and again, obviously. And Vinny has some big moments here and there. And obviously, Michael Massey can, you know, control the back. Garcia, you know, does some good things as well. But nobody has been, and I hate it even to say the word consistent, like Bobby Witt Jr. has. Like, he started the season, and he's right where he is right now. And he's never suffered a slump. He's never suffered a letdown. He's never gone, like, two games without multiple hits. Like, it's just bizarre watching what we're seeing right now. And and those of us who were alive during the George Brett years, which I was, but I don't remember 1980 or anything. I was three, right? Like, I don't remember those years of George Brett, but I know George Brett, the player, and how awesome he was, right? Because I saw him play later on in his career. But for the first time, Dusty, in most of our lifetimes, we're watching a coming out party, and we're watching somebody dominate in baseball like this town has never, ever seen before. And quite honestly, many towns have probably never seen in any sport. There aren't many people that dominate their sport like Mahomes dominates football, like Bobby Witt dominates baseball. Who dominates basketball? Anthony Edwards right now dominating basketball. Kevin Durant dominating the international game. Like, you know, Ledecky dominating swimming. Like, there's very few athletes that you can truly look at in sports today and say that is a dominator of their sport. And Bobby Witt is a dominator of his sport right now.
And speaking of domination, and that's, I think, why I'm excited to see if this team get to the playoffs, because I want to see Bobby Witt Jr. in the playoffs, because I don't think he skips a beat. I think he continues to do that.
Yeah.
And last night was one of those moments where I said this earlier, and we'll revisit what we talked about to start the show. Thank you for joining us. You can also join us on the Odyssey app. Go to Fesco in the Morning, click on it, hit listen now. And the other thing that's interesting about this is that last night was one of those moments where, you know, you think to yourself, yeah, is it awesome? It's a grand slam. It's Bobby Witt Jr. But you look at, like, the situation of the game. That was a clutch moment,
yeah,
correct?
Right, yeah.
Bases loaded. Michael Massey worked a walk. First pitch, gone. Onward we go.
Right.
I found this stat last night as I'm trying to go to sleep because I'm just so high on energy. Of Mahomes and quarterbacks and everything. Since 2001, there have been 125 drives in the NFL postseason where it has been at least the fourth quarter. There was under a minute left to play, and a team on offense trailed by 7 points or fewer at the start. We're all on the same page so far?
Yeah.
Fourth quarter,
one
team with the balls down, one possession game. These are your standard clutch moments for a football team, or the do-or-die drives that win and lose critical games.
How many minutes left on the clock?
Under a minute. Yeah,
okay.
Under a minute. Out of those 125 drives, only 40% of them saw the team on offense pull off the magic trick or get the points they needed.
Okay.
Some quarterbacks have been pretty good at this moment, or these clutch moments, as of Tom Brady, who went 5 for 11, 46%. Pretty good.
It's really good, yeah.
Drew Brees, he did it 3 out of 6 times. That's easy math, 50%.
There's right only been, around 50?
Yeah, there's only been one quarterback in this situation that's been perfect. You know his
Todd
name.
Todd Marinovich.
That is incorrect. Even Jamar Chase would have to say the name Patrick Mahomes, who is 7 for 7 in those dire situations where their team was down with at least a minute left to play or only a minute left to play in the fourth quarter, trailing by 7 or fewer to start. And Patrick Mahomes is 7 for 7 in those moments.
I'm surprised there's only been 7 opportunities with that, too. Like, I look at that, and I'm like, well, he's only done that 7 times. I feel like Patrick Mahomes has done that a heck of a lot more than 7 times. But it goes to show you, we talked yesterday about some jackass coming out with, like, clutch stats, and it had Patrick Mahomes, like, the 8th clutch quarterback in the NFL.
Hello,
right?
Jimmy
like,
G.
I mean, that's like a paste eater coming up with stuff like that. Like, you see that hypothesis, you redo the hypothesis. You go, okay, this isn't working the proper way. This one right here is showing you that Patrick Mahomes is in fact better, as Max said, than Jimmy G in those clutch moments, because Jimmy Garoppolo was ranked higher than Patrick Mahomes. If there's anything that Jimmy Garoppolo is ranked higher than Mahomes is on the football field, then we need to take ourselves out of the equation and redo whatever hypothesis we came up with, because there are no measurables out there that show you that Jimmy Garoppolo is better at anything football related than what Patrick Mahomes is right now, especially in those clutch moments. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has made his career off of coming through in clutch moments, down 24-0, down 10 points to the Texans. I mean, down 10 in the Super Bowl to the 49ers, down to the Eagles in the 49ers, down to the 49ers again in the Super Bowl. Like, how many times this guy was down just in the postseason, fellas, and found a way to come back? We're not even talking about regular season moments. Like, I don't know, the Baltimore game where he hits Tyreek for 49 yards.
Yes.
I mean, it's 4th and 9. They gained 49 or whatever it was on that play. Like, that's a regular season moment, okay? We're talking about just postseason moments that Patrick Mahomes has taken over and dominated. And back to the Bobby Witt comparison, I can't wait to see Bobby Witt on the postseason stage, and I can't wait for America to see Bobby Witt on the postseason stage, because then everybody can realize, oh my God, the best baseball player in America right now today is playing in Kansas City. The best football player right now today is playing in Kansas City. We're pretty much a hotbed of sports right now.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you look at clutch moments and you look at the player that does it, and it's Bobby Witt Jr. and it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no comparison right now over who the two most clutch athletes in the sport.
At least for this year, because July, the player of the month for July is over for the Royals. The player of the month for the July in the American League is over. And it's moments like that. And, you know, when you see Mahomes do those things today, we take it for granted. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
I'm not saying you're a bad fan for, like, when Mahomes does a, you know, roll out cross body over the middle, hits Kelsey for 15 and he takes it for another 20. When you're like, he did it again. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see that evolution of Bobby Witt Jr. And that moment last night, which is similar to the Patrick Mahomes moment, where when players are this good and they're on your team is elevated substantially higher. And to kind of continue to give this, as we talk about, we want to see Bobby Witt Jr. in the playoffs, which everything gets amplified, everything gets a little bit more tense. Yeah, it was the White Sox last night, Bob.
Yeah, it was.
But
again,
the games are running out. I don't care if it's the White Sox, if it's the Twins, if it's the Tigers, the Guardians, whoever.
If they didn't Bobby Witt this game last night, we would come in here this
panic
morning
button.
Talking about the panic button. Because one of your texts last night was, boys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we hitting the panic button this morning? And I kind of chuckled at that. I said, we'll see where this one goes, right? And obviously, freezing cold takes and, you know, like baseball. Have you seen that Twitter account, Unforgettable Moments Before Forgettable Events or something like that? And it's always like something that happened right before a big moment. That was your text last night. Like, boys, are we hitting the panic button tomorrow on this game? And had Bobby Witt not brought the Royals back and won the game for them, we probably would have been getting close to hitting that panic button because you would have lost to the White Sox, a team that lost 14 in a row. You didn't really put much of an effort up last night until the eighth inning, right?
Yeah.
And that pitcher was flexing on them for the most part of the game. And then Boston won last night. The Yankees won last night. The Guardians won last night. We would have been saying, well, at least the Twins lost, so we didn't lose any ground there. But everybody won last night. We would have been out of the playoffs this morning had they lost that game. And so I think, the panic button would have been hit sort of because it would have been a bad loss to a bad team at a time when everybody else won. And that could have been one of those swing games that you look back on, like, how did we lose to the White Sox on a Monday night?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.